Shabbos Perek Yud Tes, Mishnah Gimel 19:3. We now discuss doing various things for the child who is getting his bris milah on Shabbos. We'll focus primarily here on bathing the child. In the time of the Mishnah, it was normal to bathe the child both before and after the bris milah. The bathing before was intended really to sort of fortify him, to make him ready to go undergo the procedure, and the washing afterwards was seen as being critical for his health, for his recovery. And then they did a third washing on the third day after the bris milah to help the child recover when it's understood he was in a good amount of pain. Now, the Tanakhama therefore says, Marchitin esakatan, we do indeed bathe the child, bein lefnei amila, bein la'achar amila, both before and after the bris milah on Shabbos, but umizalfin alav biyad of lo bakli. But when we do bathe him on Shabbos, we do it in a mishunadik, with a shinui, an unusual way. And therefore, we don't use a utensil, a kli. We use our hand and we, our mizalef, we splash onto the child. So in fact, there's actually even two shinuim perhaps here. There's using the hand instead of using a kli, and splashing onto the child as opposed to putting him into a tub. Now, the reason why is because, according to the Tanakhama anyways, is because there is a restriction with the Rabbanan on bathing one's whole body on Shabbos. That restriction comes as a protection against the balanim, the bathhouse operators, who would actually end up heating up water on Shabbos, being mechal Shabbos, and then just claiming, oh, it was heated from before Shabbos. And therefore, there's a din de Rabbanan that this bathing of one's whole body on Shabbos is forbidden, even if the water was heated before Shabbos. Nevertheless, we're saying here we're being lenient and we're not concerned for the Rabbanan because of the health of the child. Nevertheless, since it could be done heated up before Shabbos, we are saying here that you'd heat the pre-water before Shabbos, and even bathing on Shabbos would only be done with the shinui, says Tanakhama. If, just to speak it out, if the water would splash out after the bris milah, and you wouldn't have water to bathe the child, then even the Tanakhama would agree you could heat new water up on Shabbos to bathe the child, because the issue is one of health of Sakanas Nefashos. But even notwithstanding the fact that Sakanas Nefashos is dangerous, he wants it done with a shinui, in an unusual way. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Marchit Nesakatem Biyom Hashlishi. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, first of all, you can bathe the child not only in a normal way, meaning as opposed to with the shinui of using the splashing by hand, and also even on the third day, Shechal Lios B'Shabbos. If the third day after the bris milah falls out on Shabbos, you can bathe the child on that day as well. So really, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is arguing on two separate points. The first point is you're allowed to bathe the child without any shinui. You can bathe them normally. There's no application of this concern that bathhouse operators will come to heat up water on Shabbos. That's not relevant to the situation of a child. Therefore, you can bathe the child who needs the of Shabbos bathing where you have a bris, one of the two or three washes of bris come into play. And second of all, he says even on the third day, where the Tanakhama says, since that's not essential for the child's well-being, you may not actually bathe the child on the third day. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, yes, you can. And l'chori, yes, you must bathe them on the third day, so the child should be well. The base of this is Shene'emar, as the Pasuk says, Vayi v'yom hashlishi, and on the third day, biyosam koavim, when they were in their great pain. A reference to the people of Shechem, who were attacked by Shimon and Levi, after they were tricked into doing bris milah, and then weakened and attacked on the third day. So the Pasuk indicates that the third day is when there's a tremendous amount of pain, and therefore, to alleviate that pain, we can bathe the child. Now, many learn that the third day is bad, but kol shekain all the more, so the second day is even worse after the bris, the day after the bris, and therefore it would be permissible on the second day as well. Others say no, the sort of the pain and weakening of the body is cumulative, so the third day indeed is worse than the second day. Whatever the case, the Shulchan Aruch rules that nowadays, meaning in his time, 500 years ago, already people's nature had changed, and these bathings were not essential for the child's well-being. And that being the case, they're no longer done. So that would be the halacha lamaisa. According to the Rama, he said that there was a custom to bathe the child before the bris milah, even on Shabbos, just that the water was heated from before Shabbos. Okay, nowadays we certainly do not do any of this necessarily. We use antiseptic and set it on, and it's not done. Okay, the Mishnah continues now to talk about what about two unusual cases. It says safek and v'androgynous. We'll take them in turn. Both those cases, ein machal nelebes Shabbos, you may not do any chilul Shabbos, meaning there's no leniencies allowed for these two characters, and they are, so we wouldn't do bris milah for them on Shabbos at all. And Rabbi Yehuda says you could buy androgynous. So what are the two cases? So safek, which means a doubtful case, is referring to a child where we're not sure if it was born in the ninth month or the eighth month. Chazal understood that babies that were born in the eighth month essentially had no chance of survival. And that being the case, they were considered almost like, you know, dead already. So that being the case, we're not allowing, if it were a bona fide eight-month gestation baby, since it couldn't survive, as Chazal understood it, so therefore there's no leniency to do the bris milah on Shabbos because there's no mitzvah to do a milah on a child that's not going to survive. If Chazal observed that a child indeed did live after the fact, so they would understand that was because the child was really from another type of baby called the seventh month baby, and this was indeed a full term baby, you know, overdue. Certainly, that's not the case nowadays. As far as we understand it, as far as the world works now, the longer the child is inside in utero and gestates, the better. But notwithstanding that, 8 month babies certainly are viable and not a problem. And the bris milah should be done as according to the halacha, and it would apply to the Mishnah Berurah says 8 month babies. If the doctor said okay, they should follow the minhag of where that place is if you're going to be mechal Shabbos for it or not. Okay, so that's the suffix. The suffix is when you're not sure if there's an eighth or ninth month baby on the tzad, and the possibility that it's an 8 month baby, we don't do bris milah, says the Mishnah. The second case is androgynous. Androgynous is the child that has both external sex organs, both male and female, and therefore its status is uncertain. We just learned in Maseches Bikurim not long ago, we said that there's a number of shitas on how to treat the androgynous. And halach lamaisa, we're strict to assume that it might be have the status of a female, or might be a male, or might be neither or both. Lots of shitas there. Be that as it may, since the androgynous is considered to be perhaps not a male, it wouldn't have a mitzvah, and therefore not be machal Shabbos for it. But Rabbi Yehuda matir b'androgynous. Rabbi Yehuda says, at least when it comes to androgynous, we do bris milah on Shabbos. And the reason why is he actually has a pasuk, which says, "Himo lechem kol zachar," you'll circumcise every male. So the word kol, the every, comes to add even an androgynous, says Rabbi Yehuda. Halacha, however, is not like him.